Hi, Steve Arterburn here with New Life Live. Thanks for joining me today with Milan Yurkovich. He is the author of How We Love. Dr. Dave Stoop, the author of, well, one of many books, Forgiving the Unforgivable, and his most recent, Characters of the Bible Uncensored. People of the Bible Uncensored. Hey, it's going to be a great day for New Life. 1-800-229-3000 to join us.
I really enjoy your show.
Hi, you guys are the best.
Well, thank you.
Thanks.
What a combination of wisdom and fun.
When we finally did it, and he walked out into the living room and said, well, I know it's not my birthday, and sat down on the couch.
Oh, I thought you said he had died. He divorced 10 years ago.
Dave's fault. Another name for firstborn is crash test dummy. And, you know, because we're learning a lot of stuff as parents.
There's a horse and there's a cart.
This is not a 3-year-old problem with your husband. This could have started in junior high school, high school. We don't know.
See, right now we like each other, but we're not really being the kind of person that we would want to be to make it work. You follow me?
Hi, everybody. Steve Arterburn here with Dr. Dave Stoop and Milan Yurkovich. And, you know, one of the things that you hear and read is that all creation groans. What does that mean? What does all creation groans mean?
Well, we lost Eden. You know, paradise lost. And the Bible says in Romans 8 that God subjected the creation to futility as a consequence of Adam and Eve's sin.
Right.
And we, too, have the capacity to sin. So whether it is, with Adam and Eve, our first family of origin, or our second family of origin, our biological parents, or ourselves, and God subjected the creation to a less than ideal place.
Mm-hmm.
And the creation, everything within it, groans. The nature does not work the way it was supposed to work in the Garden of Eden. Our emotions don't work the same way.
Yeah.
The relationships don't work. My body doesn't work.
Okay.
My body groans.
It groans under the weight of sin.
That's correct.
So when a little boy dies,
mm-hmm.
parents lose their little 4-year-old boy, how does all creation groans relate to that?
Well, they're a part of creation.
Mm-hmm.
They are.
Yeah.
And we struggle that things aren't right.
Mm-hmm.
We struggle because there wasn't a sense of ideal in Eden,
mm-hmm.
of protection, provision, and a
there
state.
Was that in
there,
Eden.
There was
yeah.
that,
yeah.
And eternity was mankind was built for eternity. Death is a sentence imposed upon mankind as a consequence of sin,
mm-hmm.
and as a result of that, we. The Bible says death has this sting that is a horrible, horrible thing, but
yeah.
all of us are subject to it. And I was just... Oh.
And
go
then
ahead,
with, and the groaning, too, has to do with it's out of order.
With this child, it would be very
out
of order.
Yeah. You know, my kids are supposed to survive me.
Yeah.
You know, and there's a sense of rightness that we still have. And then, like you say, everything's... Nothing really measures up to that fully because of sin.
You could say it. You could actually transmortify that to a nation, where you'd say it looks like a nation supposed to move forward and get bigger and better and more prosperous, and then that just may not continue.
Nothing works right.
And, mm-hmm.
Governments don't work right. Economies don't work right.
Country
people
like ours
yeah.
could literally go away.
Yeah.
You
mm-hmm.
get in. You feel entitled to. But hey, all creation groans, and it can. The groaning can include the future of a nation. It's happened before to other countries.
It's happened with every country in the past.
Yeah. But I think when somebody loses a child like that, that is so. I don't know of any grief that is greater and deeper.
Must
because,
not be.
And you know, that's where you really need people just silently sit with you. And part of the thing is you're going to forget him. You're going to forget that little boy if you knew that family, see. And they're thinking, he only lived 4 years, hardly made a mark on the world. Nobody's going to remember.
Yeah.
And that's, I've worked with families like that, and that's a terror that they have. And so talking about it is, about the child is a healthy thing to do.
Yeah. All right. Well, we love to start our program on such inspirationally high notes there. It'll get better from there. We'll be back after this. You're listening to or watching New Life Live.
At New Life, we are passionate about helping people experience recovery. And it's no exception when it comes to recovery from the addiction to drugs or alcohol. We are very grateful to have found what we believe is the premier facility to offer a Christian 12-step model of care. It treats the whole person and offers biblical values as the foundation for treating the mind, body, and spirit. Our partner in drug and alcohol addiction provides exemplary medical and psychiatric care, as well as Christian-based psychotherapy, pastoral counseling, biblical studies and meditation, educational groups, worship and prayer, and a Christian 12-step program. The approach is non-denominational and guides the patient to experience freedom through a renewed relationship with Jesus Christ. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE if you or someone you love is struggling with drug or alcohol addiction. That's 1-800-639-5433 or go to newlife.com. 1-800-NEW-LIFE, 1-800-639-5433.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now, back to the program.
We're back. Let's talk a little bit about anger.
Yes.
Someone dies. Anger is part of the...
It's part of the grieving process.
And often there's anger at God. Why didn't you stop this horrible thing from happening?
God, there's anger at life in general. Mm-hmm. There's anger at the person who dies. All of those things.
Anger at myself because I didn't prevent
it.
Yeah, mm-hmm. A lot of anger associated with death.
Mm-hmm.
How do you deal with that? What do you do?
Anytime we are losing something.
Yeah,
I lost a vacation a month ago. I couldn't go. So we have loss that could be something as it was very meaningful to us, but it was trivial compared to this. But it's still a loss, and whether it's a deep, significant loss like the loss of a child or something, even on a smaller scale, we go through, as Dave said, a grief cycle, and we go through bargaining and denial, and we just kind of it's hard for it to settle in.
Yeah.
And then once we recognize that the loss is real, we become furious at the loss because, again, it tears against this thing inside every one of us of this ideal concept.
Okay.
How do we get rid of it? I think we have to lean in and acknowledge the anger and go ahead and be angry.
Yes.
And allow the anger to be there. The thing that follows anger is grief.
Yeah,
you know Jonah. I love Jonah because he expresses his anger, and often we miss why he's angry. He's angry because he's now a false prophet. He prophesied something, but the people repented, so what he prophesied didn't happen. So he's over there angry. He's lost face, you know. And the translate, I forget what translation it is. When the sunflower that's giving him shade withers, and now he's in the sun, God comes to him and says, "You do well to be angry. I understand. But then think about where I'm coming from." Mm-hmm. So he never – God doesn't criticize him for his anger. He understands that something has been lost, and you do well to be angry.
Mm-hmm.
And then he puts it into perspective. Same thing with Job. Job got into sadness. He didn't get into anger. And his friends came and sat with him for 7 days, said nothing. Most helpful thing they did, except for the fact what they do next. They start to rail on him, and he calls them you foolish counselors. You know, who'd ever listen to you guys? But they made him angry.
Mm-hmm.
And then God comes in and never reprimands Job for anything that he said, but he says to the three comforters, "You better go and have Job pray for you, or you're going to die because you didn't speak about me rightly." But Job, in his arguing with God, it was like a legal format that he's arguing his case with God, and God never reprimands him for that.
Mm-hmm.
So it's important to see that that kind of anger is a healthy anger. Ephesians 4 says, you know, don't let the sun go down on your anger. And I always thought that means don't let it go in the darkness. Own it. Bring it into the light. Because if you don't, it gives the devil a foothold. So there's a healthy anger. There's an unhealthy anger.
Now, I want to just address one quick thing, and it's kind of anger at futility and worthlessness, and it's this. You had a medical problem, and you couldn't go on your vacation
right.
because they said, don't get 20 minutes away from an emergency room.
Right.
Okay. So a lot of people would tell that story and they'd say, and you know what happened? We stayed at home, and because we did the short in our refrigerator that would have burned the house down, we were there and God kept us there. But okay, so we know there are those kind of stories. But a lot of times there aren't those kind of stories. We sat there for 5 days and nothing happened. And
yeah, we still can't figure out why did that happen.
Yeah.
You know, I had a note, just so people know, I had a very massive nosebleed that they weren't sure if they cauterized the right spot. So they told me to stay home.
Yeah.
And it was, I was in a hotel room and ended up coming back home. But, you know, I think there's – yes, you're right. Nothing – came of it. As a matter of fact, we said, well, we'll go to the beach. Well, it was cold and cloudy. You know, it was like the
See,
very
that's
thing.
What I'm talking about.
It was exactly that. Yeah. Nothing was felt redeeming,
right.
Other than Kay found a birthday present that we bought her, and that was redeeming.
Yeah.
But I think there's two kinds of anger here. You have the situational anger mm-hmm. that you're talking about with this child I'm sure these people will be angry for a long time. And they'll have episodes where anger and grief will alternate back and forth.
Yeah.
But then you have unresolved grief and frustration that, if built up inside, causes a person to be an angry person toward life.
It becomes an identity.
It becomes resentment.
It
becomes bitterness.
Right.
And bitterness will destroy you. There's, in the brain science stuff, they're showing what happens when I hold on to resentments is that the stress hormones are released constantly. Adrenaline, cortisol, histamines are released into the system. And you don't get rid of them, and they become destructive to your body. And I've got a book at the office called Anger Kills. It's written by a medical doctor, and he says 95% of all terminal illnesses have at their root unresolved anger.
Hmm.
And there was studies done in Texas some years ago in oncology where they took terminally diagnosed cancer patients, taught them how to process anger in healthy ways, and most of them went into remission.
Hmm.
And then they found that some 4 or 5 years later, it came back, and when they interviewed them, they found that they had abandoned their healthy ways of handling anger and gone back to the default positions of how they used to handle it. All kinds of interesting things about how the mind and the body are connected.
The body never forgets.
Never does.
See, and a lot of our emotional issues are somatized. That is, they're flared out into the body mm-hmm. systems. And if we don't deal with things the way God wants us to, they will leak out in other ways and take their toll elsewhere.
Yeah.
We have people with swallowing problems. We have people with digestive problems. We have people with, intestinal problems, stomach problems, et cetera, et cetera. You know, Dave, you and I were talking, and Kay, we were talking at an event some years ago, and we determined that all three of us as children had stomach problems.
Mm-hmm. I had an ulcer at 9.
Yeah, you had an ulcer at 9. My stomach was upset all the time, and they took my appendix out at 10.
Mm.
Kay was on tranquilizers in second grade because she was manually separated from her twin and felt very lost and alone and disoriented. And so the three of us were, as children, very hurt by all this. But, anger is easier than identifying these vulnerable feelings of, am I scared underneath that? When I have people in my office that are angry, I go, something terribly hurts underneath.
Yeah.
There's a language to anger.
Mm-hmm.
And it's in my thoughts. And the language always has at its core a demand that I'm making on someone, something, or myself. Or God that I can't enforce.
Yeah.
It's the shoulds, it's the musts, the oughts, those kind of things. And when I make that demand, you're driving along and a guy cuts you off and you're angry. Sometimes you're not angry, so it's obviously your thoughts that create the anger. And you're angry because you're thinking, that guy should know how to drive better. But you can't make him drive better.
Yeah.
Because you're powerless. Many of the things we're angry about have already happened.
Right. I split it up in three parts. Angry at a past I cannot change. A present I cannot control, which could be a lot of people, I can't, all that. And a future I can't predict.
Wow.
What do you think?
That's outstanding.
Those are my three.
Is that in a book anywhere?
It's going to be. I'm going to put it in a book.
Yeah, it will be tomorrow. But isn't that really
that's perfect.
Where
yeah.
we are? And
yeah.
and think of the anger at a future I can't predict. Think of the fear that really is at
the lack of trust
at the heart of that. Yeah, mm-hmm. And lack of
and
faith.
So I deal with the past by forgiveness.
Yeah,
I deal with the future by trusting God, and then I deal with the present one through acceptance.
I hope you say that's exactly what I was going to say. Mm-hmm. Acceptance is the way that you deal with anger in the present.
Yes.
Is mm-hmm. accepting the reality, accepting the person, and accepting your own limitations.
And see, that's the final stage of grieving is yeah. acceptance. And that's after you've done the protesting anger and the sadness and process that with somebody that's trustworthy.
All right, now let me be the spoiler.
Okay.
To that.
Okay.
Just try, Mylon.
There's a Bible verse that says, fathers, don't make your children angry.
Don't provoke them to anger.
Yeah. Don't provoke them to anger. And so I have teenagers in my office, and the parents say, I got an angry kid. And I'll ask the kid, well, what did your mom and dad do? What did your family system do? And the child has to be able to process that anger, and somebody has to be able to hear mm-hmm. it. We don't expect the child to accept a frustrating situation. They need to...
Yeah, at seven.
At seven.
But at 70.
Understood. Yeah. That's why I'm making a distinction between an adult yeah. that has unresolved
That's
anger
right.
and a child that needs anger that they can process
yeah.
or a teenager. We had a call yesterday on the phone. A guy said, or on the radio, a guy said, you know, my two teenagers hate me. And how do I build a relationship with my teens? And we had to live apart for a year. And we lost our home and all these things. And we
yeah.
said, well, they're angry, but they're also hurt inside.
Mm-hmm.
They're probably scared or they're embarrassed
yeah.
or afraid. So when we get to these understanding, these vulnerable emotions, anger is a lot easier than vulnerability.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
It's kind of the place
we automatically go because we've been provoked as a yeah. child.
There's yeah. some power yeah. in anger. That we hold on
to. It's a false power,
though. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, a lot of times I've done interview shows where they talked a lot in the beginning because there were no callers. That isn't why we've been talking. We just wanted to, I mean, one thing led to the other, and we haven't gotten to a call yet. We're going right now, but our screen's been full of calls. I just want to
answer all the calls. Then,
yeah. So. Let's go to Emily from Chicago. Hi, Emily. Welcome.
Hi. How are you?
Good. How could we help you today?
Well,
I don't think we can. It sounds
she's
like
she's
going to
have to call back.
Yeah,
something
she just
got
cut herself off there. Okay,
yeah.
Let's talk.
I hate it when my chin
yeah.
hits the off button.
Yeah. Let's talk to Tony from Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, WFIL. Hi, Tony.
Hi, how are you?
Good, how are you?
Okay. I'm calling. I understand you're having a show on anger. I'm a Christian.
Okay.
And I'm calling because when I get angry, I don't just get angry. I become enraged, and I don't fully understand why I do.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to be able to resolve this. I don't want to continue to live as a Christian.
Okay. Let me ask you this, and then we're going to get into the past. But in your present condition today, what is it that people do that please you?
That pleases me?
Mm-hmm. It doesn't anger you. In fact, you feel quite comfortable with people who what?
Okay, somebody that keeps their word.
Keeps their word.
They say somebody who's courteous.
Okay.
Responsible. Those kinds of things.
Okay. Are you married?
Yes.
Does your wife do those things for you? Does she keep her word? Is she courteous and responsible?
Absolutely.
Are you angry at her?
No.
No. Okay. So, there you go. When you feel like you can predict the behavior, when people act the right way that they're supposed to act, you're okay.
Yes.
And you live in a world where people don't do that. They just don't.
Don't we all?
Well, who in your childhood didn't do those things?
Who didn't keep their word?
Who in your childhood didn't do those kinds of things? Didn't keep their word?
They were irresponsible to you. Who was that?
No, for the most part, my parents were very responsible, kept their word. I can't say I really experienced that in my childhood. My childhood, people usually were responsible, usually did keep their word.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So
I'm finding that... Go ahead.
Well, I'm curious. Where did that come into your life then?
I'm not sure.
Dave and Steve are asking a really good question. Sometimes we have this rage because we have something in our past where a person didn't keep their word, wasn't courteous, wasn't responsible. Sometimes it's the opposite. We came from an ideal place where the word was always kept, where it was courteous, where everybody was responsible. And we think, well, that's life. And we walk out into adulthood and we're shocked at the reality.
Can't duplicate it anywhere.
We can't duplicate it anywhere unless perhaps we intimidate somebody into being these things.
Yeah.
And we're infuriated that the ideal isn't met. So when we come back, we're going to talk about idealism and ask if perhaps, Tony, you have an idealistic view about life that's constantly being trounced by reality. Okay, that'll be our question.
The trouncing of reality, coming up right after
this. I just made up that word. I haven't used it in a long time.
I wish I was who you think I am. The one you thought you married. The ideal husband, the amazing dad, the great lover. But my mind is filled with darkness, with images that I can't erase. I want so desperately to be the man you dreamed of. The man I know I can be. I am terrified to talk to you about this. But I want to. I need to. I want us to be close just as badly as you do. Can I talk to you? Can we be totally honest and know that we love each other enough to be open?
At New Life, we've helped thousands of men just like this find hope, healing, and a plan to move forward with their lives through our one-of-a-kind Every Man's Battle Intensive Weekend. Call us right now at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433.
I need help. I want help. I can't do this on my own.
1-800-NEW-LIFE.
Hi, this is Stephen Arterburn from New Life Ministries. We know that Christian counseling changes lives. We hear evidence of that every day.
I feel like I'm a person for the first time in my life. I feel like I wasn't whole before or that I couldn't enjoy life. I had such a big weight on my shoulders that I had nothing to look forward to. I'm such a better wife, and I'm a better daughter, friend, a better worker. I feel absolutely free.
Our nationwide network of licensed Christian counselors means there is help available near you.
If anybody is considering Christian counseling, then they need to do it. They need to take that step.
You don't have to be stuck where you are, but you can't really expect to change unless you take action. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. It could be the start of a whole new life for you. Christian counseling works, and we can help. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE today. Someone who cares is always there at 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
We'd love to hear from you if you have a question or comment. Call toll-free 1-800-229-3000. Now, back to New Life Live.
All right, we're back. Talking with Tony. And Tony, we're just shooting here at fish in a barrel over this anger issue here. What do you think is the reason that you get so full of rage? As you look at your whole life, what do you think makes sense that would cause this kind of rage inside of Tony?
Well, I think one factor is that as a child, I wasn't allowed to express my anger. If I did, my father would take me and throw me against the wall.
Well, wait a second.
Whoa.
Wait a minute.
That's not courteous.
That's not responsible
as
a parent.
That's not keeping your word.
Well, in every other way he was. I mean, he followed.
That's abuse,
Tony. You know what that's like? That's like somebody saying, you know, my husband is really quite charming.
When he's not beating me.
He did shoot me in the chest, but other than that, he's been a charming man. I mean, that's really kind of what you're saying there, Tony. You get what we're saying?
Yeah, you're right.
Long as you're letting Daddy off the hook, you get stuck with all of that rage that you could never, ever express. And you are stuck with it now.
Mm. A lot of our anger issues have to do with Dad. Because one of the things that dads are supposed to do is teach us how to contain our anger. And your dad didn't teach you that. He just expressed his anger. I mean, he just let it boil all over the place. And that just that became, you know, almost a model for you unconsciously, not in, mm-hmm. in, not something you try to do, but it's like that's where you go to when something triggers anger inside of you. You become your dad.
Well, and that's a double standard, isn't it? You see,
yeah.
You may not be angry, son, but I will kick you against the wall if you get angry. I can be angry, but you can't. So now we got a justice issue.
Okay, wait. Let's go with a triple standard. So now I have all this anger.
Is this like a triple dog dare?
It is.
What is this?
Now I have all this anger from a dad who wouldn't let me be angry.
Yep.
He was furious. Now I'm furious.
Right.
So we got three different dynamics going there, and I am. So now you have the triple dog anger effect.
Yep.
Okay, and
well, that explains your.
I don't want to be this kind of
person. That's part B. The part A is you said, why does my anger turn to rage? Why do I become so infuriated? That was your first question, wasn't it, Tony?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
So did we answer that question?
Yes.
Okay. There's where you got to spend some time.
Mm-hmm.
And we said earlier that anger is a lot of unresolved grief. I said that earlier. And this would be, you say, what do I do with it? One thing that you would do would be to get into a safe place where you can process your grief and the injustice of this. And you are able to grieve the loss of you being shut off from a God-given emotion that he gave you. The Bible says, be angry.
How do I do that on a practical level?
You get into a grief. You get into a grief recovery group or a group that is supporting people who are struggling with rage. Because a good therapist, any therapist worth their salt, isn't just going to teach you how to count to 10. They're going to go backwards and say, what is the source of all this rage here?
Well, part of what you got to do, Tony, is you got to get rid of your idealization about your dad.
Yeah.
Your dad had a good side, and he had a horrible side, and you need to look at him honestly. I had to, you know, we mentioned earlier I had an ulcer at 9, and it was from living with my dad's temper and the unpredictability of that. And I kind of dismissed it, and, you know, they said my ulcer was because of diet, and, you know, everybody else's because of stress, but mine was because of diet, you know. So I believed that for years. And when I finally dealt with the reality of my father, and it was long after he died, and I was afraid to because I thought I'd lose him. But when I finally dealt with it, I was able to get my own anger under control because I was like you. I had rage too, and it would trigger because, you know, I hadn't looked at my father's stuff adequately. And so that's where I would begin.
And let me just encourage you, Tony, that a lot of people have a lot of skills. You sound like you're very articulate and you've got a bright mind and all that. But we don't learn this one life skill, and that is, how do I deal with contradiction? And your father was a living, walking contradiction.
Yeah. Wow.
Wonderful, predictable, and all this. But he'd throw you up against a wall. And he didn't give you the option of learning how to deal with contradiction in character. He was so in need of controlling you, he would throw you against the wall whenever it felt like you might be getting out of his control. Now he continues to control you because you have the anger and rage that he kind of infused inside of you. So it's important that I would just take the word contradiction and write it down and say, look, the way to deal with contradiction is not to withhold my rage toward the source. Otherwise, I'm going to become the contradiction, just like Daddy.
Mm-hmm.
See, and you're old
and
enough
now. That's what
you
want to break.
You're old enough now that you can express your anger. And I don't think you need to express it at your dad directly. But somehow, internally at least, you need to focus your anger on the source of your anger, which was the contradictions with your dad.
Was your grandfather abusive toward your dad?
My grandfather really wasn't in the picture. He worked all the time, so he didn't really have a relationship with my father, as far as I know.
Okay. Mm. Well, is your father still alive?
No, he's not.
Okay. So what Dave said is very important.
Makes it easier to deal with.
Well, it really can, but, you know, since there's nobody to talk to.
Sometimes you don't get anything when you talk to him.
No, what I was saying was, since there's nobody to talk to, you write it out, what you would say to him.
Exactly. Right. Yeah.
All right, Tony. I'm going to send you walking into walls. I hope you'll like that. We'll be back.
At New Life, we are passionate about helping people experience recovery. And it's no exception when it comes to recovery from the addiction to drugs or alcohol. We are very grateful to have found what we believe is the premier facility to offer a Christian 12-step model of care. It treats the whole person and offers biblical values as the foundation for treating the mind, body, and spirit. Our partner in drug and alcohol addiction provides exemplary medical and psychiatric care, as well as Christian-based psychotherapy, pastoral counseling, biblical studies and meditation, educational groups, worship and prayer, and a Christian 12-step program. The approach is non-denominational and guides the patient to experience freedom through a renewed relationship with Jesus Christ. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE if you or someone you love is struggling with drug or alcohol addiction. That's 1-800-639-5433 or go to newlife.com. 1-800-NEW-LIFE, 1-800-639-5433.
I just absolutely believe in the mission of New Life, and I feel that the materials provided and the biblical counseling perspective is so valuable and not available in so many places. And New Life and membership and club New Life provides access to the live program and also CDs available to listen to. So I know it's easy to turn on the radio and receive the benefit, but those services don't come without expense. And I would sure like to see the program remain on. So I would like to challenge listeners who listen and receive benefit but haven't yet given to actually give this year and continue the giving, of course, because more people need to hear.
Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE and ask how you can start your Club New Life membership today. 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
We're glad you joined us for New Life Live. To be a part of the program, call 1-800-229-3000. Now, back to the program.
We're back here talking about anger here on New Life Live. By the way, we have some tips here for you. It's 10 ways that you can overcome anger. And one of those ways is not stopping listening to this program. That is not one of the ways. You can get these free by calling and requesting them at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433. Well, Emily's back. Emily. Here we go. Emily, how are you today? What's going on in your life? Sorry that we lost you there.
Yes, I'm sorry, too. Well, I'm just calling because I'm trying to figure out what my next steps with my boyfriend should be.
Okay.
I'm involved with a Christian guy, and I'm a Christian woman, and we both attend church, and we're in small groups. We read a lot of Christian books and have Christian mentors, but we have tons of strife, and we have since the beginning of our about year-and-a-half-long relationship.
Okay.
And now we're pregnant, and since the beginning, I kind of always expressed to him that I felt like we should be having sex in the context of a blessed and guarded Christian marriage, but he was always convincing me that we were trying to act like in a box or idealistic, and we should just go with this creative beauty of us. He's an artist type, and
how did
we love
now? Is it, now he's an artist father?
But let me ask you this, just for curiosity's sake. So, when you had a sexual experience with him,
mm-hmm.
with your feelings that we shouldn't be doing this, what was the aftermath of that? Could you communicate with him well, or was there difficulty communicating with him, or did you feel like, hey, he's right, this was fantastic? What was that like?
Well, I mean, I had had sex before. I always I always took a long time before I got there, and always
right.
told my boyfriends that I wouldn't have sex unless we were totally in love, and I thought they were the one, and they thought I was the one. But I mean, I think the more times that you have sex, obviously, with someone that's not your husband, you kind of like, I don't know, you would think as I got older and more into scripture and more into my church and stuff like that, I would become stronger. But
let me tell you why you didn't. Let me tell you why you didn't. Delayed consequences.
Mm-hmm.
If you put your finger on the fire and it burns it, the consequence is so immediate, so obvious, you'd be an idiot to do it again. But we got to teach our kids that it's the delayed consequence that trips us up. You think you're getting by with it. It's okay. Somebody misunderstood the rule. And it's only 10, 15 years later when you can no longer enjoy a sexual relationship because it's not as exciting and wonderful as it was back then that you realize there were consequences to this thing. And so you've fallen into the trap so many. So you've got all this Christian stuff going on. He's convinced you to have sex. Now you're pregnant and you're going to get married and he's going to live happily ever after.
This shows the reality of Matthew 7. You know, we can hear God's word all day long. We can be surrounded, and a lot of people say, "Well, we're Christians and we're surrounded with God's word."
The truth,
but if we don't do God's word, we're building our house on sand, and so we can justify. But it's only those who are blessed who do God's word.
Okay, so tell us what things are like now that you're pregnant.
Well, we still continue to have the strife, and right now we're in a long-distance relationship. He's not he always implied that if we got pregnant, it would be great, and he would be there for me. Right now, he's kind of giving me an ultimatum and saying, well, if I don't change all these things about me because understand him and feel him and hear him, he has a huge temper, too. And we broke up in the past a few times because I was trying to set boundaries with his temper because he can be really verbally abusive, and a few times he's pushed me, shoved me, and done things, and I started dating someone else. But and then when he found out about that, he of course had more of a temper.
So
and blamed
how old
me more
are you?
And
how old are you? And how old is he?
35, and I'm 35, and he's 40.
Okay, so what you're saying is that the solution to this may not be that you marry this man. It isn't always.
Well, I sure wouldn't. It not under these circumstances.
Yeah. To put your child into an abusive relationship, permanent, put yourself in an abuse. Once you're married, it gets worse usually.
Well, see, you know, the big red flag to me, Emily, is that you need to do all the changing. And
really,
you know,
and since the other guy came, since I dated this other guy, even though it wasn't like a sexual relationship, he's for several months been blaming me for everything and won't even let me bring up his issues with like the names he calls me.
Then I would say, don't call me again. I'll let you know when the child is born and you can begin to send monthly checks, but we're not getting married until you acknowledge and deal with your anger. Because if you married him under these circumstances, you know, in 2-3 years you'd be divorced because you've got all the red flags of, you know.
Doesn't sound like she has the option to marry him, though, that he is doing what men do.
Yeah, he's kind of disappearing.
Well, Emily, he sounds like what we describe in her book, The Vacillator, who's very idealistic and wants love to be intense and passionate and just let things happen. And then they mistake intensity for intimacy. And what happens is they end up finding themselves involved way over their heads too quickly. Mm-hmm. And then if there's separation and you push away from them in any way, they become furious that you're rejecting them, and they're very sensitive to separation. And that's why they can be very reactive. You said we have strife, 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 strife. And that could be one of the reasons. If you want to understand more, possibly he could be this the what we call the vacillator, or the attachment literature and research calls the ambivalently attached person. Mm-hmm. So that explains the reactivity. What you want to do, because now you have to co-parent for the rest of your life, the two of you need to be able to find a way of understanding the reactivity. And even if you don't get married, you need to acknowledge the reality of a child coming, and you need to enter into a covenant between the two of you to say we will co-parent this child with the least amount of strife.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's a big order, isn't it?
Yeah, but it's a hard situation because I believe that half of what he says about me is true. Like, I have issues. I have not been fair.
Hey,
I lie.
It's irrelevant.
Emily, that's not the issue. That's not the red flag. The red flag is it's all you, and it's not him, and he won't look at himself. And if he won't look at himself now, trust me, when you marry, he never will look at himself, and you'll have an abusive husband and an abusive father.
And it's hard too because he has Christian mentors and he goes to a church and he's super, super smart.
Isn't that nice? Isn't that nice, Emily? We have all these Christian mentors and we read the Bible and we go to Bible studies.
But it shocks me that he doesn't.
It doesn't. Why should it shock you? He didn't care to honor God's word, did he? So why would he honor God's word with respect to anger and rage?
Hello. Hello. Uh-huh. Do you see that? See what Mylon's saying there?
Yeah.
Every area of his life could be a contradiction to the Christian values that he espouses.
Emily, what do your girlfriends say about this guy?
Oh, I don't have that many girlfriends. They don't really know him that well. He kind of keeps me away from my girlfriend.
Emily, your voice got lower all of a sudden. You're
well,
a ventriloquist through Steve.
I do kind of keep him away from my friends now.
Oh.
Mm.
My friends are act neutral about it, but they don't know the depths of everything that's happened. They don't know that I'm pregnant. No one really does but my doctor, okay. my pastor. And
how long have you been pregnant?
Just 7 weeks.
See, you don't have close friends. A woman cannot be pregnant 7 weeks.
And that shows on her face.
Oh, one of my friends does, and what my mom knows. And,
okay. All right.
But if you tell them, you're not telling them because you know what they would say. Right? You're not telling them about him and what he does and what he says to you because you know what they would say. They would say,
that's why I delayed talking to my pastor for so long, and I finally did. He was said, like you guys, kind of there's a field of red flags.
Mm-hmm.
And
okay,
man's never supposed to put his hands on a woman unless it's to protect her.
Right.
Exactly.
Right. And imagine what that's going to be if you were to say, it's okay, let's get married. I can live with you beating me. And hitting our child and being one.
And, of course, when you do that, it'll be my fault because I haven't measured up.
Right. Okay, so I got a question for you, Emily.
Uh-huh.
What are you going to do?
I don't know.
I knew. I thought so. Because for us, it seems pretty clear what needs to be done.
Mm-hmm.
You need to make a decision. And any decision that says, okay, let's move forward like it is endorsing every one of those character defects that you've seen rise to the surface. It's a vote for him.
Mm-hmm.
And you will regret it.
Well, another choice Emily has is whether I would want to give this child up for adoption.
Right. Have you thought about that?
No, not really.
But she could also raise it.
She could. I'm just saying it's an option.
Yeah.
Those are part of your choices.
Emily, you kind of hold some cards here that once you marry him, you won't hold. If he wants to be the father of this child and step up and be your husband, then you have to require some things of him, like he's kind of requiring of you.
Non-negotiables.
Non-negotiable way. You must give him requirements for you guys to move forward.
Hi, everybody. Max Licato here. As a pastor, I've seen how important it is for people to come and get good Christian counsel. People make decisions that turn out to be the wrong decision. I heard Steve Arterburn say on New Life not too long ago that the same thinking that got you into your mess isn't going to get you out of it. If you find yourself in a spot and you don't know what the next right thing to do is, then won't you call the good people at New Life? They have a network of Christian counselors around the country that's more than 850 strong. Call today 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433. And tell them you need to find someone to help you. They're likely to have a counselor in your area to help you with whatever you're struggling with. It will be good, godly counsel. Call today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE, 639-5433.
I counsel people every single day. I help marriages. I help broken people find healing. I teach the good news of a Savior that loves us. But why can't I accept it myself and break free from this bondage? I can't stop looking at pictures that I shouldn't be looking at, and fantasizing and lusting, and now I've taken it a step further and gone to a strip club. I have to stop. I want to stop.
At New Life, we've helped thousands of men just like this find hope, healing, and a plan to move forward with their lives through our one-of-a-kind Every Man's Battle Intensive Weekend. Call us right now at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433.
I need help, and I can't do this on my own. I want to be the pastor that God wants me to be.
1-800-NEW-LIFE.
To find out more information about New Life, or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now, back to the program.
We're back. Steve Arterburn here with Mylan Yurkovich and Dr. Dave Stoop. And, you know, if you are listening to this and you're kind of thinking, man, this is kind of irritating me. I'm kind of bugged. It's the way these guys are handling these calls. Maybe there's something that we could help you with.
By the way, that was a good anger call.
It was a good anger
call. Because, this guy's temper, causes this lady to dance.
That's right.
And that is very much part of many relational dynamics.
You know, and there's the danger of premarital sex. Because once you start having sex before marriage, you don't pay attention to the other things.
Well, you don't. The male doesn't have to do anything.
Doesn't have to.
He doesn't have to get to know you.
But you don't. And then you're already, you know, committed, and then he's angry and he's pushing you around and hitting you, and if you weren't having sex, you'd be gone.
Right.
But because you have that bond there, you put up with it and you kind of explain it and rationalize it, and then it doesn't go away.
Yeah,
it gets
worse. The guy that says okay to no sex premaritally is your best choice for a spouse.
Definitely. Yeah. Hey, let's talk with Dee from Silver Springs, Maryland, listening on WAVA. Hello. Hi, Dee.
Hi, how are you doing?
Great. By the way, anybody hanging on, we're going to do another program after this. We'll get to your call on anger there. Dee, yes, how could we help you?
I had a question about internalizing anger, because that's something that I really struggle with.
Okay.
And I think it's because I really have a fear of confrontation and a fear of being honest with people for fear of confrontation, if maybe that honesty isn't the best thing that I have to say.
Okay. The fear of confrontation would be because you're afraid of what?
I think I just don't know how to handle those feelings of anxiety when I can tell someone has a problem with me or with something that I'm saying.
Mm-hmm.
And so what usually ends up happening is that I harbor a lot of the emotions because I don't ever really talk about them,
right.
I don't know how to let them go.
Okay.
And
so,
they end up coming out in spurts,
okay.
Like something that's a really small deal will become a lot bigger, or I'll have a really random response to something because something's still bothering me.
You put it in a gunny sack and then the bag breaks.
Running out of time, I got 2 minutes with you. Ask us a quick question.
So my question is, in terms of that anger, is the solution only to talk to the person, or how do I really, saying earlier, how to process
quick
anger
answer.
Correctly?
D,
I just don't feel like I ever was taught how to do that.
D, here's
it just stays inside
D,
of me.
D, here's a quick answer because of time. Anger is a separating emotion. So really what you're afraid of is separation.
Mm-hmm.
When you learn to acknowledge that is a fear of being alone or alienating people, and you standing behind a wall out of which you've put somebody behind a wall, or you've separated from them, and that you're afraid to be alone, then you'll be able to start working on why you internalize it, because you can't risk separating from people.
Well, yeah. And the place to work on that is going to be in a group, probably in what's called a therapy group.
It's really kind of not healthy to go work out your big anger problem or lack of confrontation with the person you're angry. You're going to mess it up.
You're not going to be able to do it, and you'll get tongue-tied. But if you get in a group where people are trying to learn how to be honest and open and direct, they can, you know, you help each other with how to do it, and that's really the key to,
yeah,
to breaking that pattern.
All right. Well, I wish we had more time. I'll send you Walking Into Walls. I think it will help you. There's a chapter on how to get unstuck and how to move into the future is another chapter in addition to the walls we have to overcome. That's coming your way. Now, we need your help. Maybe there is a year-end gift, and this could be the time. Rather than waiting 30 days, maybe you could give that year-end gift now. If you can, you call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433. Or you go to the website, newlife.com. It is really easy to give at the website, newlife.com. And then the foundation of what we do, of course, is our club, New Life. And that's where Milan was describing how you just, every month we take it out of your credit card or your checking account. You don't have to think about it. And that's a major foundation. But if you're a member of Club New Life, maybe God would be leading you to support this ministry. And in a bigger way, maybe there's a one-time gift or a year-end gift that you could help us with, or up and increase the amount you're giving with Club New Life. All of us support the ministry, and if every one of you just could write a check for $100, our problem would be over. Or fewer of you write a check for $200. But pray and see if God is leading you in that direction. Maybe it's $100, maybe it's $1,000. My friend called and said, just count me in for $10,000. And I'm so grateful for him and his wife praying about it. But if you could help us, please, now's the time to do it, newlife.com, or by calling 1-800-NEW-LIFE, 1-800-639-5433. We've got a great, great gift for you if you'll support this ministry. I'll send it to you. It's called People of the Bible Uncensored. Dave, what in the world is that book about?
It's about, well, we take about 18 different personalities from the Old Testament, and we look at what we already know about them, and then we look at the things we never look at. Like with Moses, we talk about that one little episode where God, after he calls him, God intends to kill him.
Yeah.
And most people, I've talked to more people and said, you know, that's in the Bible. I never saw that in the Bible. And I give them the reference, and it's like, wow. And then we bring in a lot of the things that the old Jewish rabbis added to the stories to make them come alive. So it's taking these lives and personalizing them, looking at them for real and what it means to our lives.
So are you saying that you used some reference material other than the Bible?
Yeah.
You did?
Yeah.
Josephus Flavius, anything like that?
No. More the old rabbis.
From
3,000 years ago. What they used to do when they would teach these stories is they would embellish the story without changing it. So they're talking about Abraham. And when Abraham is bringing his Sarah into Egypt, you know, he puts her in a box like a coffin, they said. And then the tax guys say, what do you got in there? And he says, barley, you know. And it says, well, the tax is in... Well, you're too willing to pay it. I think we got wheat in there. Yeah, I got wheat in there. And, you know, this is what they did. They just kind of, and it made it come alive. It's a riot.
I see.
What they did. So we've added that.
Now, what do you mean we? Who's we?
Me.
Oh, okay.
Editorially.
Well, I thought, you know, do you have a co-author?
But Jan always helps.
Yeah, they're so merged that just he is we. It's just the way it is.
I thought we were talking about the majestic plural in Hebrew, like Elohim, you know, there's just this bigness.
Hey, there's but I think it'll be a wonderful, wonderful passage of Scripture in Acts where Philip sees this very influential man. And let me read you the quote, what the Bible says. It says, he came alongside his carriage. Maybe there's somebody in your life, and all you need to do is just come alongside whatever they're carrying and help them and be there for them. I want to encourage you to do that today. And maybe you're dealing with your anger and frustration, and you need to call us and let us give you someone that'll come alongside you, a counselor in your area. You can find that by calling 1-800-NEW-LIFE, 1-800-639-5433. We love you. We care about you. God bless you. Thank you, all of you who support us. We really do appreciate it. We're glad we get to do this. See you next time. Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening. We hope this program has helped you by giving you insights for handling the challenges you face in your life. We want you to know that we're here for you. But you also need to know that New Life Live is a listener-supported ministry. To make your donation or to get any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE or write to us at New Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1018, Laguna Beach, California, 92652. Please join us on Monday for New Life Live.